Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Millennial Money. I am Jack Selby, host of the Iced Coffee Hour podcast. I'm introing it with Graham Stephan, Andre Jick, Financial Education Jeremy. Thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you for all hosting me here.
Appreciate Wait, is it Jick or Jeek?
Jick.
Jick.
What?
I'm kidding.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Graham Stephan?
Graham Stephens? Stephens Graham?
It's getting feisty right off the bat. Oh, boy.
So
it's
I thought it was interesting.
Sorry, what was your name?
I'm Jack Selby.
Jack.
Nice Iced Coffee Hour podcast.
Never seen it.
Okay. You should check it out. It's pretty good.
It was interesting, though, but one of the previous episodes, your name was one of the most requested comments at the very top. Bring Jack on. Bring him on. And I thought that was you. Just like making an account to
don't
come
make
on
us
here.
Take you off, because that would be a different comment.
Yeah. He told me that. He thought that I was creating these burner accounts trying to like up comments. I was saying, bring Jack on. What?
Wow. I did.
I know.
Did you
I
really?
Did.
That's
a
serious allegation.
Yeah, because it was the top comment with like 200 likes. And all it takes to get to the top comment is you just got to like it like five times yourself. And it gets boosted to the top. Everyone else sees it. Yeah, so it's like, Jack, is this you? So anyway, we got you on, Jack. It worked.
Yes. He's been trying to get me on for like a month and a half now.
Yeah.
I kept pushing the ball down the road.
Well, we're happy to have you, Jack. We got
Thank
a lot
so
to talk
we
about.
Do.
We do.
There's markets getting a little shaky again. Well, at least here today it was. We had been on a nice comeback. Real estate seems like it's overheating. I would love to talk real estate in today's video because, guys, this is getting insane. And crypto, I actually bought some Bitcoin this week.
No, you didn't.
I bought $500 of Bitcoin.
Oh, gosh. Is it thanks to our sponsor, FTX?
And I did buy it through FTX, our sponsor. Yes, sir, I did. Okay. And the transaction was seamless. I felt like the best crypto exchange I've ever used in my life. And not just by a little bit, but by a lot. Mm. And I would say everybody that should definitely check out the link in the description for that.
So all right, good.
We appreciate you. But yeah, gentlemen, what do you think? I mean, I would love to start with real estate. Okay, real estate seems like it's overheating. Mm. How long can this keep up for? This insane demand. Builds are at the highest they've been since pretty much about 2005, 2006. Is this really sustainable? Are you guys, would you go buy a property right now? Andre.
I'm nervously sweating. Yes, I did. And I think it's a great time if it makes sense for you personally.
Okay.
I think it makes total sense to
me. Andre, we never talked about this. Did you ever take my advice? So you bought a property for how much was it? 1.1?
Did you sell your car? Did you sell your cars? How much do they appreciate?
A decent amount. I don't know, 35%.
Why aren't you selling it? You drive it like once every year.
Because it's going to go up more. But
I can say that about the house I bought.
If I had an offer right now, $450,000 for my Ford GT, I will take it. $450,000 right now.
Is it already 420?
Is that the same percentage appreciation as your house?
Probably more.
More. If you use that same percentage, though, would you sell it?
Possibly not, but the thing is, I've held the car for longer than a year.
Okay.
Andre literally closed on the home, and then the next day got an offer, a verbal offer that I kind of call BS on that because they didn't put it in writing.
Right.
So I said, get it in writing. Mm-hmm. It was like 1.4. Mm-hmm. And did you ever follow up on that?
No, I didn't. But if someone gives me a written offer for 1.7, I'll take them up.
Come on. All right.
Wow.
1.6. Not 1.6.
No, because I'm going to get short-term capital gains taxes on that, and I'm netting like $140,000 off that. That's not worth losing that property to me.
Well, it sounds kind of familiar. Didn't we have someone else who didn't want to sell because of taxes?
Who's that?
A very dear friend of ours.
Oh,
didn't want to sell at
a
good
sure
price.
What we're talking about.
Well, you know,
let's move on.
Let's move on.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I'm not sure. I feel like all of us have invoked that reasoning. Like, I don't want to sell because taxes.
Yeah. But you don't feel like you bought at the peak of the market. You feel like we're going to keep on skyrocketing, huh, Mr. Andre?
Here's the funny thing. When it comes to inflation, when everyone is screaming that there's going to be a recession and the market's collapsing, I don't think it's going to happen when people think it's going to happen.
Okay.
This thing could run for the next 2-3 years before we get something crazy.
Okay.
But while I agree with you, the market's crazy hot,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like all signs point to no, it's not going to keep going up.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be anytime soon before some crazy collapse.
Wouldn't be surprised if interest rates put a bit of the demand on the back burner.
They will.
Prices might, I think almost 100%, they'll be, that the price growth that we've seen is probably going to start to slow down.
Sure.
People might get a little freaked out and might prematurely try to sell. I don't know. I think if anything, it'll expose some good opportunities to come up the rest of the year. But I can't see how prices will continue to go up besides a lack of building right now. Just in terms of building materials, the cost of construction has gone up. But there is still a lot in the pipeline. So if for whatever reason demand begins to wane a little bit, more inventory comes to the market, that could be enough to soften
Thing I'll say is, did you guys see the Fed news that came out today, where the two Fed officials, Brainard and Daley, I believe, one of them the president, and the other one I think is the San Francisco Federal Reserve, and they said that they're going to be aggressive on offloading their bonds. So from 2017 to 2019, they were offloading at the rate of like $50 billion a month off the balance sheet. This time they're saying they'll be aggressive, which they're predicting anywhere between $80 to $100 billion a month that they're going to offload. So that's going to translate to 10-year treasury yields going up, right? Because the moment the Fed, so we're getting too into the weeds here. So the moment the Fed announces that they are selling off bonds, if you're a bondholder that's getting paid 2%, what are you going to do? You're going to sell it, right? Because there's going to be new bonds. And when you sell, the rates go up. Because the bond prices fall, the new rates that are issued are going to go up. So you want to swap those bonds for higher rates. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that 10-year treasury yield bond yield will obviously be reflected in the real estate market, right? Like you're saying. So that will hopefully slow it down too. So if they sell at a crazy pace, then you might be right.
Yeah.
But if they take it slow, then it might take a while.
Yeah, the 30-year mortgage just hit over 5%, which I think is a big psychological number. Yeah.
The 10-year treasury just hit the highest point.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
I've been out of the mortgage game.
Barely over 5.
What did you lock in your rate at?
I locked in at 2.6, but it was a 7-year ARM.
Oh.
I told Andre to lock in for 30 years.
Why did you choose that?
Oh, Andre, you should have locked it in for 30 at 2.6, you idiot.
No. Yeah, I see here. So right now, bank rate is showing 30-year fixed at 4.85. Wow, so man. I bet most people are probably getting about that with a bank discount. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably not paying about 5 unless they're subprime or they don't have good credit or not a lot of money down.
I saw 5.02 recently, so I don't know, conflicting. But nonetheless, we're up there toward 5.
That's almost double from where it was. Yeah, very quick.
And that's a worrisome part if you're thinking about real estate, not just the slow, but I have some people that obviously believe there's the extreme of like a crash, right? And it's like if mortgage rates keep going up, which there's almost guaranteed mortgage rates are going to keep going up, right? To 5.5%, 6%. And you have on top of that, the homes that are already unaffordable, you end up in this situation where it's hard to be bullish, I think, on real estate for the next, basically after the summertime. That's how I personally feel. I don't know if you gentlemen feel different, but I'm like, how is mortgage rates not going to continue to climb? They're likely going to 6%. And that's something that affects the affordability of homes in a massive way. Never mind, you got record pricing on top of that.
Yeah.
So that's something I definitely am concerned
with. But how long
does
it take before the prices start going down? 6 months? 18
probably about
months?
6 months. 3 to 6 months. Because whatever you have closing today was probably locked in 1 to 3 months ago.
Right.
It's finally closing now. So whatever we have today, probably going to be reflected 3 to 6 months from now. Mm. So we're going to probably see headlines of like, ooh, prices continue to inch up higher as mortgage rates go up higher. But that's like kind of old data. You have to look 6 months from now to see what's really taking place.
Yeah, and that's, I think, a mistake a lot of people make. They're looking at real estate right now and they're like, oh, construction's booming right now, right? And you're like, I go through neighborhoods and there's all these houses getting built. But it's like, that's people that ordered these homes 6 months ago, 12 months ago. Some in this community have been over 12 months ago. Like they ordered 16 months ago, 18 months ago. And so that's these homes getting built right now. That's not the debate. Everybody knows things are strong right now. It's where are things going 6 months
from now.
But here's
the thing. Here's the interesting thing. Let's say a community like this, where they pre-sell these things 24 months in advance. You cannot lock in your interest rate today. So you're paying today's pricing based on interest rates of today, not knowing what they might be a year from now.
Yeah.
So you might have people just walking away from a 3% deposit because if prices go down more than 3%, it makes sense just to say, I'm going to lose my 3%, but I'm going to make 10% over here.
Right. Yeah.
It'd be smart to do that.
One of my friends is in the process of building a house, and he's exactly in that position. And I'd be curious to see what he does, because he hasn't locked in his rate, and he can't until another 5-6 months from now. So
yeah,
that'll be interesting.
I have a friend who's building a custom home right now, and he put $350,000 down for this home. $350,000, this is in Phoenix. $350,000 down, and essentially they're in a situation now where mortgage rates are obviously skyrocketing higher, and this guy's not too in tune with kind of the finance game. And my friend was explaining to him, hey, you know, mortgage rates keep going up and up and up. And he's like, I can't even lock in, because his build isn't going to be done for at least 12 months from now. Mortgage rates could be a 6 or 7% by then at the rate we're going right now. So that's another situation where, I mean, what does he walk away from $350,000?
The only interesting thing that you have today that's different from like 5 years ago is inflation. So before, when we had interest rates, let's say they were about 3.5 to 4% is where I was seeing. This is like 2019. You were having inflation at 2. So you had like a real net interest rate of 2% that you were paying after inflation. Today, even with rates at, let's say, 5%, if you have inflation at 7, you kind of have a real rate of negative.
Yeah.
So as long as the interest rate matches inflation, you're still probably better off than you were in 2019.
Yeah, 100%. It's a sticky situation, because here's the other thing. If, let's say, real estate slows in a massive, massive way, they stop increasing the amount of homes they build, well, there's already kind of a housing shortage, as a lot of people know, that are renting homes. And if you were to all of a sudden, let's say all the home builders, this isn't going to happen, but let's say all the home builders stop building houses tomorrow, right? Well, the housing shortage is even in a worse scenario than it was before, right? And everybody's complaining about rent skyrocketing right now, 20%, 30%, 40%. Geez, that would make it even a worse. So it's kind of a catch-22. It's like, do you want real estate prices to continue up and things are even more unaffordable, or housing slows down majorly, building stops, and ultimately we need more housing? So it's a catch-22, man. Tough scenario. Yeah,
rents are going to be the interesting thing to watch, though, I think, over the next year, because they have not caught up to where housing prices are today, and they're going to lag by about a year.
Wow.
So I think rents will continue to rise. Even if housing prices go down, rents are still going up.
How much do you think things are lagging?
About a year.
Because how do you know they lag like a year?
Because people sign a year rent, year lease.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever they're paying today, most likely a lot of them have locked in a year ago, 2 years ago. They'll sign a 1 to 2 year lease.
Yeah.
And so the market could be up 30%, but they're not going to see that. They've signed a lease agreement. So they pay the same fixed cost every single month until that lease is up. And the landlord says, wait a second. My costs are going up. My insurance is up 10%. My labor's up 20%. The market rent now is 30% higher. Here's a 15% rent increase.
Yeah, but if the market substantially tanks, those people could also probably walk away too.
What do you mean? From a rent?
Yeah.
You could go after a tenant who breaks the lease in the middle of the agreement. Yeah. Technically, at least in the state of California, if you sign a year-long lease and let's say you leave after 6 months, you're responsible for the rent every single month until the property is rented out.
Right.
So a landlord just can't say like, okay, well, because you moved out, I'm going to keep it empty for 6 months. They have to reasonably make an effort to lease the place.
Right. Yeah.
So, and even if they rent it for less,
and what would be the
you come up with a difference.
For the renter, if they just left.
And take them to court. Now, sometimes it's not worth it.
Yeah,
you know,
like that's probably the minority of cases. People
correct.
Being taken to
but if someone is a good tenant with a good credit score,
right.
And an income, and they have a, you know, they just walk away for the sake of I could find something cheaper,
right.
Leaving the landlord in a precarious spot. Then, I mean, according to the contract, you can go after a tenant.
So you're going to say October, November is when we'll see the average home values go down.
No, I'm saying leases will continue to go up.
No,
but
as far as
if
the
we,
home values.
If we did see something, it would be probably about a 6 month lag.
So, October,
I just can't. Personally, I wouldn't be surprised if home prices rose at the same pace of inflation.
Right.
So, if inflation's 4%, we're going to see 4%.
Okay.
That's
so
kind of what
think
I think.
That homes will go up, just not as much.
Correct.
As people
are
predicting.
Or some areas might go down. It's really hard to peg it because even throughout 2020, we had some areas like San Francisco saw a decline, New York saw a decline, some other parts in the middle of the country were like up 20%. So, it's kind of hard to say it's like everything is going to go up, everything is going to go down. It really depends on location.
Right.
Yeah. So we could have the market like go down like 5-10%, but some areas in the U.S. will be like, no, we're still up 5% this year.
Right.
So
Yeah, it should be interesting. Real estate lagged, you know, coming out of kind of the Rona crash. You know, stocks climbed first. Well, stocks and crypto, and real estate didn't do much for about 9 to 12 months after those March lows. And then we started at the very end of 2020. You started to really see some price appreciation there. And then obviously 2021 was a beast year, and then obviously 22 so far.
Here's what I'll say is, if I could make a prediction as far as when home values will go down, it'll probably take a few years after people are like, all right, this is it. This is the big one. Because if you remember 2008, right? How long did it take for home values to hit rock bottom? That was like 2011.
Yeah, but that was such an isolated event.
True.
2018, we saw values decline about 5 to 10%.
And that was that collapse? That was an insane collapse.
Yeah, but that was the mortgage crisis.
Right.
Yeah.
And it still took 2 to 3 years for home values to go down and be reflected. They didn't happen instantaneously.
Right, because you can't foreclose immediately. The foreclosure process would be 1 to 3 years. So it takes 3 years just for a house to get on the market.
Right. So yeah. I still think it could take a couple of years after something crazy happens before home values really hit the point where people are like, all right, this is the bottom.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't expect a crash. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a softening.
I'm not predicting one either. I'm not saying there will be one.
Are you saying there's a crash on it? You should have taken that deal. You should have taken the deal in writing.
Oh, Graham. Mr. Carr over here.
Yeah, it's funny because you definitely hear like people say, oh, there's no shortage of buyers. And I think that's true for every asset when it's appreciating. There's no shortage of buyers, right? Stocks, crypto, it doesn't matter what it is, Bitcoin. When it's on that FOMO cycle, which I would describe us as a FOMO cycle right now of real estate, when you're on that cycle, of course there's no shortage of buyers. That's the way it is. And then once things start to dry up, that's when you find, is there really a shortage of buyers? Are people really willing to pay what they once were? Are they excited to buy? Like, oh, I gotta load up now. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Jack, what do you think? What's your opinion, Jack? You've been pretty quiet over there. I want to hear what you have to say.
I was just soaking up all the information. I feel like you guys have all very valid points. I kind of wanted to know what you guys think would happen, because we were talking about what would happen like a 6 to 9 month time frame, but like what you were kind of bringing up, like a 2 to 4 year time frame with real estate.
Yeah. No, I think it's too early to say like a 4 year prediction. It's way too early to say.
Yeah.
But I tend to agree with Graham. It'll slow down in a couple of months once the rate.
And by slow down, do you kind of just mean like stagnate, or do you mean actually kind of like it can start?
Well,
it
depends on how much the rates go by, right? So the traditional, I guess, advice is for every 1% the rates go up, home values correct 10%. But it takes, again, a couple months for that to happen.
Wow. Affordability declines by 10%. Not always the price will decline.
Okay, so that's a big statement. Yeah, so you said 1%, 10%.
Right.
And do you know where that's out of? That's just like the historic norm as far as that goes.
So affordability has already gone down.
Yeah, well, it's not prices will decline. It's not to say that prices would decline 10% if interest rates go up 1%. It's affordability. So it's like that will cost now. If interest rates go up 1%, it's going to cost that person 10% more.
Yeah.
The price could still go up, but it does become 10% less affordable for that person. So you got a $1,000 budget. Now it's $900.
That's the scariest part of that, because you like we talked about, housing prices have gone insane, and we're already up about 2 percentage points on the 30-year roughly from the bottom, and it's likely showing no signs of slowing down when it comes to mortgage rates. So that's the scary part. I don't know, Jack, but the reason I asked you is because you're somebody that bought your first ever home in the past 12 months. Yeah. And so you just being a first-time home buyer, did you buy the peak, Jack? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sitting really pretty because I locked in 2.874 on my place.
Beautiful. For 30 years.
Yeah, and that's I froze time in September. So that was like the price at which I bought the home. So it's continued
you
to
froze,
like...
You froze time?
He's got the time stone.
What I say by that, we closed in mid-October, but like that was when locked in the price.
I've never heard of that, close time.
I just made it up right now. But we froze time mid-September for the prices, and it's fine. Like I'm content. But I was considering buying an investment property, but now, especially knowing that like I have to, I mean the rates are ridiculous, and also on top of that, you'd have to pay a premium because it's as an investment property. Yeah. It's definitely making me pretty apprehensive.
The word choice Jack just used there is very key. He just said rates are ridiculous. And here we are at a moment where we might not even be close to ridiculous rates. They might get much more ridiculous over the next 12 months.
For someone
like
me who's never seen it like that before. Yeah. And also you see such a steep rise. It's not like it took a while for it to happen. Like literally I was, October and it was 2.874 and now it's like nearly 5%. So okay. Very fast. So
let me ask you guys, I know you guys know a lot of people. Do you know anybody that has been a real estate investor for more than 5 years? and they are still actively buying properties right now? Or have all those people either stopped or slowed down in a big way?
I know flippers. A lot of flippers. They're still buying. They're still
It's flipping. A little different. Yeah. Okay.
I think anywhere on the market you could find a good deal. There's always going to be a seller out there who needs to sell, who you could add value to the deal. It's more challenging, but I think no matter what, it just depends on how long you want to look for.
It's kind of like stock market. You could find a great stock, like an Honest, for instance. It's a great price. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, no shout outs for that. But no, in all seriousness, in the market, I know we've talked about this, Graham, before, and you're like, what if the market stagnates or let's say goes down like 5%? A year, and I've always said, you know, you still find some deals, there will still be stocks that outperform in those given markets. So probably same thing with real estate. You'll find some deals that just get hard to find if you're in an overheated market.
Yeah. Well, so. I guess in context of that, of being worried, let's say, about a flat market, like a lost decade where prices are going to be the same 10 years from now as they are today, I meant more so in the space of finance, especially on YouTube, any sort of volatility is people are drawn to that and they are interested in that, and that is what grabs attention. But if there's no volatility, nothing going on in the market, and the market's flat, people lose interest in those investments because it's like it's boring. Yeah. Oh, it's the same price today as it was a year ago. I didn't make any money. Stock market sucks. Yeah. And they're going to move on to something else, like buying 4GTs.
Oh,
yeah.
4GTs. Actually, speaking of, I went racing today.
Yeah, I saw
that. I drove
that.
A bunch of cool cars, and the driver
on a work day, Andre?
No,
it was a work day today.
It's a work day. Totally work day.
So you didn't work today.
What? What do you mean a work day?
Hey, it's a work day.
There's a reason. Thing, man.
What is that?
There's a reason he couldn't afford it, this neighborhood.
Oh, Andre.
Wait, what did he just say?
But he just bought a more expensive house.
Let's go on, Andre. Let's go on.
Yeah. Explains a lot, Jeremy.
Did he just rag on me for not affording in his neighborhood?
No, sir. I would never say that.
Damn, how out of touch is this kid?
I would never, ever say that. No, sir.
Same guy who buys a Tesla when gas hits $6 a gallon.
So just tell us about what you were doing on a work day. I mean, excuse me, what you were racing here today, Andre.
Yeah, the race car driver actually recognized me. He's like, hey, I got some Doge.
No!
Like,
oh, okay.
He's like, I got some Doge on Mars and some Dogecoin and Shiba.
So make you happy to hear that.
No,
from all your videos, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, hey, man, I bought some Doge on Mars.
No, to your point, you said people love volatility. Graham loves making everybody look like they're beneath him. That's what you want, don't you? Oh, I know the top comment was about you and your real estate, so I'm going to dig in a little bit more. You know what you're doing.
No. Right, we gotta make these episodes spicy.
Yeah, the crypto guy. So he bought some Dogecoin. I'm not gonna tell him not to, but that's what he did. And
now you want to buy a race car.
I want some Dogecoin.
Yeah. Okay. I want to hear more about this car.
It was to Graham's point that when things are exciting and things are moving, that's why people got into it.
Yeah, that's true.
And the reason that I love Dogecoin is because it's like the gateway crypto to the real cryptos. And that's what I'll say it's got going for it. And I think, you know, with time, once people get hurt with the YOLO bets, they'll go to the more legitimate long-term stuff.
Yeah. And speaking about
I'm
Dogecoin.
I'm sure with stocks, there's a lot of like that too,
yes.
right? Where they're like, oh, I got into AMC and GameStop, and now I got burned, and now I'm investing in blue chips, right? I'm sure you have that.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Sometimes those stocks ruin people, and sometimes they are kind of like a gateway to get in the market.
Yeah.
But one thing I'll say about Dogecoin is I got a free Dogecoin because bought...
Yeah. Who's this at the front door? This episode is sponsored by... Macy Savannah on YouTube.
They spelled it wrong.
I know, they spelled her name wrong. M-A-C-I.
Oh.
Let's see what this is.
Spell it like that. Like, literally, I've never known
unboxing.
Like that. Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
You have to be kidding me.
Holy.
These look so good.
Wow.
Dude.
I can't see it.
Look at this.
Wow. Full this guy.
Whoa, it's way bigger than I thought it was. That's huge. Yeah, we're talking about Doge and how I got a free Dogecoin. So now I am officially somebody that owns Doge because I bought some Bitcoin through our sponsor, FTX. Greg, want to tell us a little bit about FTX?
Take it away, Graham. FTX is a spot that you could buy, sell, track, and trade a multitude of cryptocurrencies and NFTs all in one place with fees that are up to 85% lower than the top competitors. Take it away, Jeremy. Tell us about Sam Bankman-Fried, who is the founder.
Sam Bankman-Fried is the greatest billionaire in the history of billionaires.
Because he's given away all his fortune.
99% of his personal income. And I think that's big for the crypto community because a lot of people getting rich in crypto and have gotten rich in crypto. And I think it's a great example to set because think about it. Like what? Just so your kids can ride around on yachts and their kids. That doesn't give them purpose in life. And give that money back to society. You collected all these chips, as Alec Hormozy said.
Yeah, right.
Give it back to society. And I think that's a great example he's setting as somebody that is now one of the richest people in the world and probably going to be a lot wealthier in the future.
Right. So. And FTX is also partnering with Steph Curry, Tom Brady, the Miami Heat Arena, Coachella, Jeremy.
That's why you're one of my favorite finance creators on the platform. Appreciate that, Andre.
So anyway, if you guys are interested, feel free to use the link down below in the description. You'll get free crypto on every trade you make over $10. Their crypto debit card is accepted throughout millions of merchants worldwide. So again, they support the channel. The link is down below in the description if you want to get started.
Yes. So, Jack.
Yes.
I'm happy for you with your real estate property, man. I'm happy for you. Thank you. A great rate.
Yeah.
You bought it at a pretty good time,
yeah.
You know? And Andre, I'm happy for you. You got an investment property. So real estate.
For Jack, though, like, that's so cool. How old are you?
23. That's incredible. I bought it one day before my
22, buying a $600,000 house. Like, at 22, I could not have dreamed of buying something like that. Like, that, I was just, like, starting my career, earning, like, $15 an hour.
Yeah.
So for you to be buying a $600,000,
I should be proud of yourself. He's got a good boss.
I appreciate that. And I do. I do.
Graham's like, how can I make this about me?
Now Graham's like, Alex, cut that for a minute.
Tell him about where you work, Jack. Tell him about the iced coffee. Yeah.
Have you done a Glassdoor review yet, Jack, on this company?
That would be funny. Just Jack and Alex.
That would be
anonymous Glassdoor reviews.
That would be fun.
The Graham Stephan Company. Oh, gosh. But great. That's huge. I didn't buy my first property until 29.
Wow.
So,
how old are you right now?
32.
32?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, so I waited a long, long time because I was moving around. You know what I mean? And, like, sometimes real estate can hold you down a little bit. You know, you buy a new property, feel like you got to stay place. Like, I lived in Arizona. I lived in Charlotte. Then I came out here. So, I want to make sure I was kind of have my feet planted.
Yeah.
But, you know, for you, Jack, that's a great decision.
I bought my first one at 32.
Oh, 32.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And you're 40.
I'm 32 and a half.
What?
55?
Sometimes I say that in my videos. I'm like, I'm getting old. I'm 68. They're like, wow, you look great for 68.
It's like,
It's interesting, though. For me, at 31, we went to a creator event sponsored by Carrot. And it's interesting when I'm walking into these events, everyone is under the age of 25.
Wow.
I am one of the few people over the ages of 30.
Wow.
It's weird walking into this because I think kind of everyone is around the same age. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm pretty average age there. Yeah. If not, maybe even a little old.
Dang.
Yeah.
And what is this exactly?
It was the metal card for creators. It was an event that was thrown where a bunch of, people pitched their companies that they built up to creators.
So it was a bunch of successful young people.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes, basically.
So not us.
Yeah, it's funny. I recently somebody was in town, Vlad, who has a really successful app, and we were at
Vlad.
The Wynn.
Yeah, who's that guy?
Wait a minute. That's a Robin
Hood. He's the richest person I know, okay? That's all I'm going to say. His name's Vlad, and he runs a very successful app. But that's it.
You do know a Vlad owns Robin Hood.
Yes, I do. I'm not saying if that's the Vlad, okay? I'm just saying I was with a Vlad at the Wynn.
Is it Putin?
Listen,
we got to get this out. We got to figure this out.
We went by XS, and he goes, "You like going to the club?" I was like, "What? I'm 32, dude. Like, could you imagine me in the club? Like,
honestly,
like, brought their uncle here? Who brought their uncle to the club? Don't you think? Like,
no,
I feel like
you're very lively, dude. Yeah, 59. Like,
I feel like in the club, if you don't have a 2 in front of your age, like, what are you doing in the club?
Really?
I don't know.
No.
That's maybe that's just a wrong perspective.
Yeah, that's a wrong perspective. Yeah.
Wow, you're so young.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, I would say at least in LA, I remember the guys getting. Like bottle service at the tables, most of them, and maybe LA skews a little bit on the older side, but we're like in their 30s and early 40s.
Also, the people in the 20s can't afford bottle service.
You'd be surprised. Excess.
Yeah. If you
rich
get like
parents.
20 people together and you each throw in like $200, you get yourself something like that.
Hey, we should go on to the whole Twitter debacle.
Yeah. No, there was a good point I was going to make, but I got sidetracked. Anyways, the Twitter debacle? We can go on to that.
The Twitter debacle. Because that's pretty. That's really interesting.
I've never heard that word used in a conversation.
I think that was the first time I've ever used that word in conversation. But yeah, for those that don't,
after I froze time.
But for those that don't know, Elon Musk is now the biggest shareholder of Twitter.
10%.
Yes. No. 9%. And he's now
round up.
He's on the board. He's on the board now. And you know, it's causing a lot of media attention.
So why did he do that?
Well, he did a poll on his Twitter, if you didn't see. And he asked people something about, I don't know, if Twitter should have open source, like an algorithm to determine what should be allowed to be said on there and what shouldn't be.
Right.
And then he did all these polls to gather a lot of information about sentiment towards Twitter.
So he wants it to be more open and free conversation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. I think I saw a snarky comment. By the way, I love Elon. He's awesome. But I saw someone say, love him.
But you love him. Explain that deeper, Andre.
But I saw someone say, like, it's kind of interesting that a guy like Elon bought Twitter for, like, the free speech aspect of it when he's been known to limit orders on his cars for people of the press that he doesn't like. So, like, he's done censorship of his own. So it was kind of interesting that he did that for Twitter.
Did that have a lot of likes?
I don't know. But it was kind of an interesting point.
It's tough, though, but how do you fight misinformation being spread from an algorithm that might promote what is the most controversial or gets the most engagement if it's wrong?
You make it decentralized.
Open source.
Yeah,
but... I guess you get into the problem of how do people know? How can they tell the difference between what's factual and what might not be?
I don't remember the last time we remembered what is right or wrong anymore in the news.
I don't even trust Twitter. Like, even though that it is regulated by, you know, some algorithm, probably some humans or whatever, I don't even trust Twitter at all.
Right.
So it's not a reliable source.
I remember, and I didn't use a lot of Twitter, but I started using Twitter when, like, the Russia-Ukraine situation broke out, because there were like urgent updates on that, and Twitter was like the medium that a lot of people were using. And I remember seeing so many videos and things like this of just showing that, like, this is what's happening right now. And they were getting thousands of likes and retweets. And then you look into it and you realize, wait a second, like, the comment buried halfway down is like, this is actually footage from this date. This is a training exercise that was years ago. This is nothing to do with what's going on right now. Same with using old clips, calling it like, this is today. There was a viral clip of video game footage that was shot at night that you couldn't tell. I mean, I looked at this and I'm like, wait a second, it's a clean camera angle, but someone was like, this is a video game. And it is. So it's like, how do you, or do you just let that do its thing? And
but I don't think Elon owning it is going to change that, though.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, if you make it,
he's on the board.
I don't think that's going to change anything.
No, but if you make something open source, how do you, then that would mean an algorithm is created by everybody, right?
No, I think you can't draw the line in the sand. It's either free speech for everybody, or you can't limit it without being a hypocrite. There's no in the middle. That's my point of view.
So I
you
feel
either
like
let everybody have their own point of view, as bad as sometimes it can be, or you limit it. And
it reminds
to be somewhere
it,
but
in the
you
middle
have to draw
to
a
say,
line somewhere.
Yeah, but to draw one somewhere is to say, I'm the moral arbiter of truth, and I get to decide that. And no matter who you are, or how cool you are, or how successful you are, to give that power to one person...
It's not to one person. That's why it's open source.
Well,
to everybody.
What I'm just saying with, like, Elon, I guess the expectation is like, oh, there's going to be a lot, you know, a lot more careful. Like, you're saying it's going to be more free speech with Elon being there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like... even a bigger subject here is what I think is going to transpire in social media over the next decade or two.
What do you think's going
to
happen?
Which I think it's going to get into similar to how, unfortunately, the news networks are run, right? Mm. If you believe a certain side, you watch Fox News. Mm-hmm. If you believe a certain other side, you watch CNN. And I think that's definitely, you saw the Truth Social come out. I think it's very possible that social media will be divided in, like, if you're a Republican, you're over here. If you're a Democrat, over here. If you have, you know, out there ideas, let's say you're over here. If you have
that's
this
a shame
side over
because
here.
It just harbors these very narrow beliefs.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. I think you're absolutely right. But I also think the future of web will be Web3. Where a lot of these businesses will just be basically decentralized. Like, for example, a couple of years ago, there was a decentralized Twitter, and it was using Bitcoin Cash as the technology.
Mm.
And what it was doing was actually really fascinating how it worked, because It was on the blockchain, every single tweet, right?
Yeah.
And so the mechanics behind how they did it was you sending a microtransaction of a crypto to your own wallet, from your own wallet to yourself, right? So it's basically going in a loop. But one of the features of crypto is that you can attach a note, like a little memo, right? Mm-hmm. Like a little tiny message, kind of like Twitter, with a certain limit of characters.
Okay.
And so they are sending a microtransaction to themselves, and they are broadcasting a message on the blockchain. Oh. And then the user interface is essentially like Twitter. So they're sending out messages that can't be deleted, that can't be removed by using a decentralized platform. So I think in the future, that's where it's going to go.
Wow. Yeah. It's definitely potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be interesting how it all shakes out. By the way, I was going to make this point earlier. I felt like I was old when I had my third kid at 32. Back to the old thing. Okay. So, you know, I think maybe we have different arguments on age. And I'd love to see in the comments, what do you guys think is the appropriate age to go to the club? Because I think if you go to the club with anything, not a two in front of you, what the heck are you doing at the club, okay?
We need to hear from you. Why do you feel so strongly about this? That's what I want to know.
Oh, like, I'm not strongly at all. I'm not emotional. Yeah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think you just held you down. You closeted. You really want to go to the club. I think that's what it is. You're closeted club man.
I think you're saying this to justify the fact that you have not been to the club. And you're trying to rationalize this.
Have you ever been?
I have, but not since I had a two in front of my age.
Did you have a good time? Okay?
Yes, but that was a long time ago when I had a tour.
I think we should all collectively encourage Jeremy to go to the club.
I've never been to a club, ever.
I think we should. It's okay. You should go.
You can go with Jack.
Let's go.
I will only go to the club if one person comes with me. He knows who he is. He's the club man, okay?
If he gets one comment that says that it's okay if you're 32 to go to the club.
Who is this?
Very little persuasion.
His name is Meet Stefan. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. He's the man, and if he goes with me, if he came to Vegas and he said he wanted to go to the club, I'm going to the club with him.
I was
going to
say, is this your other friend, Vlad?
I know a lot of
that's
Vlads.
Good. You could be the chaperone. How's that?
The chaperone. I'm just here to make sure everybody stays safe. Does anybody need water?
Father figure.
Yeah,
water?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think you've had a few too many shots.
Handing out Advils at the end of the night.
Yeah, give me your
Gatorades.
Keys.
Yeah.
You need an Uber called for you? So, anyways.
You buy the stock before you buy the Uber?
I think this is a problem with the millennial generation is you guys have this perspective like, oh, life is so long and like, I don't
know. Now you're sounding like a boomer, man.
You're a millennial.
Yeah, you're young, Jeremy. What are you talking about?
Oh, I think, I don't know. Everybody's like, oh, I'll do this someday.
Yeah, you know what's crazy though? I think it was Alex Ramosi who posted this on his Instagram. It stuck with me.
Yeah, that stuck with me too. Yeah, I know exactly. What you're
talking
about.
Yep. Okay. Get this. It kind of messed with my head a little bit. So it just a warning here.
Yeah.
He posted that the average lifespan of a male in the U.S. is 75 years old. Okay. We call middle age 50. In reality, if the average lifespan is 75. Middle age is 37.
Yes.
37 years old.
100%.
And people have lived half their life at 37.
Yeah, that freaks me out.
It did.
Yeah.
I thought about that.
I immediately skip
like,
past. I'm like, I don't want to think about this.
I think the thing scarier is as you get older, life tends to
go faster.
Faster.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just crazy. It's starting to become a blur.
Yeah. Well, see, that's my issue that we're getting into a bigger issue here because let's be honest. If all of us, if we had somebody come up to us and they're like, I don't need to really start caring about my money yet. I'm only 22.
Mm.
We'd be like, no, you do need to start caring about it now. You know, if you care about it now, it's more important. And so a lot of people put off relationships, kids, marriage, anything that, you know, those sorts of things, they put it off now because they're like, I don't need to have that happen today. And so they put it off, they put it off, they put it down the road. And so people are doing the exact same thing. It's just they're doing it with life now and life decisions. And so I just find it interesting because we're at that moment right now. Mm. And it's not like it's a niche thing. This is the masses right now.
You know, I have actually a good question for you kind of in reverse of that, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a billionaire.
No, sir, not yet.
But you are.
Yes, I am.
No, but seriously, you are.
I am.
You're not a financial billionaire. You're a time billionaire.
Mm. Ooh,
a billion seconds is 30, 31 years, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have probably at least 1 billion left in your life. Mm-hmm. You're not quite a multi-billionaire like you used to be.
Dang it.
But a lot of people might be watching this YouTube channel are or could be.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what's funny. We've spent our entire lives chasing money. And mm-hmm. so some of us have acquired it. Some of us have less so.
Yeah.
But you're a billionaire in time. What are you doing with the rest of your time now? Mm. Now that you've acquired enough capital to essentially enjoy that time? Because here's the thing. When it comes to Warren Buffett, right?
Yep.
One of the richest people on earth.
Yep.
He would trade any one of us here right now to become you. Any one of us. Because he's a billionaire financially, but not in time.
Yeah.
He has a limited of time left here on earth.
Yep.
Okay. So by the different currency standard, like we seem to put money on a pedestal.
Yeah.
But when you have enough of it, like, have you ever asked yourself, like, how much is enough enough to where I can enjoy the rest of my currency that I personally believe is much more important than money?
Yeah.
You are a billionaire. What are you doing with your billion?
Yeah. I like that. I think
that wasn't a rhetorical question.
Yeah, no. That's like a 30-minute subject we could talk about there. Like, you know, how you spend the rest of your life and those sorts of things. I think the same thing could be said. Well, if you already were good, let's say 2 years ago,
Let's start with something simple. How much is enough for you?
Money?
Yes.
Never.
What?
No amount of money.
No kidding.
Nothing. Yeah. There's nothing.
Okay. That would, what about you, Graham?
Yeah. I mean, I would want to keep working.
Am I the crazy one here?
Okay. Jack, are you okay?
I stepped on Bailey's tail. Yeah. And then she started skirting like around and scared me.
Jack,
I'm sorry.
I feel bad for you, Jack.
That scared me.
Oh, man.
My number is probably like $4 million.
Okay.
And I would
so you got
that.
About a mil left. Okay.
You might be a multi-billionaire.
About 4 million left.
Jack, you might be a multi-billionaire right now. You might have 2 billion left.
I probably do.
Yeah.
Good genetics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
But I agree with you. I think, you know, it's important to obviously value money, but you know, I differ from Graham because he does put money on a pedestal. There's nothing wrong with that, but I do value my time that I have to enjoy and spend with the people that I care about. I put that on a pedestal.
Right.
And I'll go even as far to say that I heard this quote and it stuck with me that enough is not an amount, but it's a mindset.
Okay, that's fair. I like that. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, cool. I mean, I think there's a whole debate on, like, what is a true good, like, what is American dream nowadays in 2022? And I think that's, like, a big thing. Like, what is the American dream? And I think
Who's the comedian that was like, you have to believe it's a dream because it's no longer true?
Oh, who said I don't
that?
Know.
I forget what comedian said that. He's like, yeah, the American dream's a dream because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Wow.
I forget who said it, but
yeah, no, because I mean the old dream was definitely like, you know, like let's go back to like the 50s or whatever, right?
Okay,
is like get a decent job, have some kids, get a little house, get a little car.
Jeremy putting things in perspective over here. Yeah. Back in the 50s, back in my,
you're not that old, man. Yeah. You're young.
Back in 1989, and
why are you trying so hard to grow up, man?
Yeah.
Gosh.
We didn't go to the club.
I interrupted Jeremy. Okay. Yeah, you got a little car. You got a house.
Yep.
You got a job. You got a family.
Yep. You got a couple kids. You got a wife. Like, just from the male perspective. Like, that was the American dream. Okay. Mm. Now, is that still the American dream? I don't know. I feel like almost the American dream now is maybe definitely more financially focused. Could even be follower focused, like how many followers you got, you know, definitely with the generations, I think on the come up, like they care probably so much about follower numbers. I don't know about all of them, but I know there's definitely a significant amount, like how many TikTok followers you have, how many Instagram followers you have, all those sorts of things, how many likes you getting. And I don't know. It's just, it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's just, I think the American dream is shifting. And I think if you were to ask somebody, like, what is their dream, it might be a little different than it was historically. So
I agree with that.
What's I mean? Let me ask you guys. What's American dream to you? Like the average, like what should you expect if you were? What's the American dream?
I can't speak on like the whole. Mm-hmm. I could speak from myself personally. I guess for me, the dream is to own nothing and be happy. Which is really funny because people say that and they make fun of it, like, oh, millennials are going to own nothing and be happy.
It sounds like the Great Reset.
I genuinely believe that. Like, some of the wealthiest people I've talked to, they are downsizing their life right now. Like, I'm getting rid of my house. I'm selling it. I don't want that stuff to exist in my headspace. Because, like, the more you accumulate throughout your life, the more you think about protecting it and guarding it, making sure it doesn't lose value. And after a certain point, after you get the things that life is supposed to have you want, the car, the house, whatever, it starts to get kind of old. You're just like, okay, cool, I got it. I'm happy, but I kind of don't want this stuff anymore. It doesn't bring me pleasure or joy. And what brings me pleasure and joy is just experiences. So I kind of want to get rid of that. I don't want, you guys remember Elon Musk? He sold everything.
Yeah.
That was pretty recent.
Yep.
But okay, I'm just speaking personally from some of the friends that I know that are like way more successful than I am, have started to do that in their own way. Mm. They've started to get rid of the big house, the fancy car, the fancy lifestyles in favor of a simpler life.
Okay.
And I think ultimately, like, that's where we're gonna go.
Mm.
Personally, that's where I'm going toward.
Ah, okay. So you're saying, it says some guy just bought another house.
yeah.
So
that he's renting out.
Hey. Get that in there. Yeah. Gotta jab him with something. You're too poor to afford in my neighborhood, Andre.
Who said that, Jack? No. So, anyways, dang, I keep forgetting what the points I'm gonna make today. Graham, what's the American dream? Oh, no. So that's a little bit of like the anti-American dream, though. You don't want to get too caught up into those sorts of things. So, what is truly the dream, though? Like, what does that represent to you? Is it certain people that are around you? Is it a certain lifestyle?
No, I think you were kind of hitting on a point that social media is the new norm, but I also think social media is exposing a mindset that we're all kind of tired of this like fake lifestyle that we portray the best versions of ourselves on the internet.
Yeah,
and Bo Burnham is one of my favorite comedians. He did a really powerful song about it, and he at the end of it, he basically said, like, if you could live your life and be happy, and not be on social media and not be part of that, that's worth it. Like, live like that.
Yeah,
don't follow that dream that you said. I agree with you. That's where people are going. Like, they're prioritizing relevance, social influence, all that stuff. And I get why, because you can't buy it.
Yeah,
it's something you have to grow. You have to earn it.
Yeah, so I want to get back to this American dream because you still haven't directly answered my question, and I want to hear from you guys as well. But I think something people have always done is they've always put on a little bit of a fake persona, and it just depended. Like nowadays, it might be social media, but you know, if we go back to the 50s, 60s example, it was like you went to church, you wore your best clothes, you put on your best face. You acted kind of perfect, right? And you, in front of your community, you were the best version of yourself in that moment. There was no alcohol. There was no anything, right? You were your best version of yourself. Kind of like if somebody posts that Instagram picture, they're usually the best version of themselves. It's from the perfect angle and those sorts of things. But still, I mean, I want to get back, and I'd love to hear your guys' perspective.
Jeremy,
of the American
nothing
dream.
Has changed, though, as far as like what you just said.
Yeah.
That's still the case now. All that's changed is the medium in which we express that.
Okay.
Okay, like you just said, it was the community, it was our church, it was wherever.
Yeah,
yeah, now it's
and
Instagram.
The medium is just changing, right? This was like MySpace before, and now it's Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and all this other stuff. So the medium is changing, but the expression and our desire to appear a certain way is still the same.
Yeah.
Right?
I see what you're saying, 100%.
So the American dream is still the same, it's just the medium has changed.
Yep.
And I think certain mediums, like social media, has exposed a deeper truth behind the American dream, that perhaps that dream is not worth having, because in the end, it's not what makes you happy.
Yeah.
If that's the thing that social media has taught me, it's that.
Yeah. I like this one commercial that's on TV right now, and it's like, you'll never regret that flat screen TV you didn't buy, you know, at the end of your life or whatever, you know.
I saw that. I do remember. I was like, don't you ever do you think if you don't buy it, you'll regret it?
Yeah. Like, I didn't get the iPhone 13. I can't believe I didn't buy that iPhone 13.
It was on sale for 20% off
that's
for 24
right
hours,
that's
and I didn't
Graham would do.
Buy it.
He's like, dang it.
So, Graham, what's the American dream in 2022?
I think it's just freedom. It's just having the freedom to do what you want when you want.
Okay.
And that's what I think.
Ooh. But that's rooted, I feel like, in financial security.
Yeah.
Yes, you need finances. Yeah. Sometime. I mean, it depends. If you want to live in a van, travel the world, and do side hustles,
you think that's the stereotypical American dream, though?
No, but it's doing whatever you want. I mean, for some people, they want that. Or for some people, they want to live in a high-rise tower. They want to spend $50,000 a month.
Here's an interesting story. So in 2017, I was kind of broke, and I was so stressed. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And I was like, let's go to Europe. And I traveled for like 2 months to Germany, to like France, a bunch of places. And I remember when I was traveling, and I was enjoying it. I was staying at my friends' houses, like all over Europe. It was one of the most happy times in my life when I wasn't stressed and I wasn't thinking about my future. Just because people here in America, they are so hell-bent on like the hustle culture of work and acquiring and building an identity and who I am and respect me and all that stuff. Yep. Like, I don't think is as shared in all parts of the world.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's kind of an interesting perspective that I don't necessarily, like, financial independence is 100% like the path to get there.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of people around the world that don't make that like their dream, their goal, that I think are still pretty happy.
I think that's most of America, though. I think most of America is not trying to get rich. They're not trying to strike it big. I think there's certain circles you can get around, especially as you have more success, you're going to get around other people that have a lot of success. And they didn't get there by accident. They got there because they worked their you-know-what off.
Right.
And so my perspective on that is, most folks, their dream's not really to get rich. It's to live a life that they enjoy. And I think there's also a lot of people that kind of go through life a little lost, and they don't really know what they're doing. They're just they're just living life. You know what I mean? Right. They don't even think about it deeply like that.
I agree. People are a little bit lost sometimes, and they're not thinking about it deeply. But I think those are the types of people that want to look like it's a lot of people. I won't say a majority, but those are the types of people that want like the TikTok clout. They want a bunch of money. And I think honestly, I would say as like a general, if I'm assigning a stereotype to just America right now, especially like my age group, everyone just wants to be like TikTok famous. They want to be like doing dances and getting millions of views and likes. That's honestly what I see, especially like amongst like people that I know personally. It's like if they could pick what they would ideally be doing at this given moment in their life, it would be like TikToks, YouTube, making a bunch of money, driving a Lambo. It's that's just.
But
I mean, that's
my do you think that could be the friend group or the culture that you grew up in is more?
I grew up in Southern California.
I know, but it's maybe more.
I guess it's kind of like near like
angled,
LA.
Yeah,
right?
It's
like,
angled towards that.
Yeah, but it's also like really dense in population too. Like there's a ton of people there, and I would also say what happens in like Southern California, like the trends kind of lag in like let's say like the middle of the nation, like those states, and then even on like the East Coast, like. The trends are kind of set in like New York even and like San Francisco and like LA, and then slowly it takes like a little bit of time to hit the
That's interesting thought. Yeah, I mean, living in Southern California, especially LA, I think that's just a different lifestyle. I think it's like if you aren't doing something big with your life, like what are you doing? Like I think that's the culture. It's interesting. Somebody in the private stock group, she started a very successful candle company, and she's from a very small town in North Carolina. And she actually got a lot of hate when she started the company from actually people in her own community. And as she was expanding, which is strange, as for us, it's like, what? If anything, you should be getting love. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people looked at that as like, oh, you're trying to like be better than us. And like throwing slights at her. Like, what? You're trying to get out of here? You're trying to leave us?
That just seems rooted in insecurity, though.
I think,
get back down in your place. You shouldn't look better than all of us for doing well and being successful and pursuing something that I didn't have the courage to do.
Yes.
That's what it's, I mean, that's usually, I think, where that comes from.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, something like that, they probably looked at her as, you know, you're trying to do something different. Like what are you doing? And just kind of like some of those people would look at somebody that let's say wants to live an average life, make an average amount of money, have a family or something like that. They would look down on those people. Like, what are you doing? Like, why aren't you making more money? Why aren't you getting famous? Like, why aren't you rich or something like that? So I think you get both those different sides of people that are like, you're chasing the riches, that's wrong, or you're not chasing the riches, that's wrong, and it really comes.
But that's
from
just human nature. I think generally, a lot of people do not like someone else doing better than they are because it exposes their own whatever they have going on deep down. So, like, if someone else is doing better, brings up an issue with them, and it's easier for them to be like, "Oh, we don't like that," shame them for that, just to feel better in comparison.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Generally speaking, though, I feel like American people work the hardest and the most around the world. And that's where this like hustle mentality and hustle culture is the most prevalent that I've seen it.
Okay. It was interesting. I was on a call with a Chinese company one time, and they were throwing shots at America. Basically, they were basically trying to say that like they work way harder than us. And it was just interesting hearing their perspective, and like why they even needed to feel like they needed to say that to me. But yeah, so I think there's a belief in, at least in China, that they actually work way harder than us and they'll outgrind us.
Sure.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I think a lot of people think they work hard.
A lot of people think that. Yeah.
I know. That's the thing.
Whether or not they do, I believe everyone thinks that they put in a good day's work.
That's a great point. I never thought about that, because I know some people that like they act like they work so hard, and then you really break down, like, dude, you work 30 hours a week. What are you talking about? Right. You work hard.
Right.
Like, you don't even know what like hard work is. So
it's relative. You know what? It's exactly relative.
I'm paraphrasing here, but I actually heard this really good example to fit this scenario. There was a poll that was done, a study within this company, and they asked each employee of this company, what percentage do they think that they contribute to the overall success of the company?
Yeah.
And they added up all of the percentages, and it was like 600 or 700%.
Yeah.
So like everyone thinks that they're doing way more than they are, and they think everyone else is doing way less.
Reminds me that like 80% of drivers believe they are better than the average.
It doesn't work out.
Well, that's what's funny. It's like if someone's going slower than you, they're like, oh, this dude is way too slow. If someone's going way faster, you're like, oh, look at that idiot's speed. Only my speed is the correct one.
Like, you can go 74 on the highway. You're not going 65. You're not going 85. 74.
But for real, if they're 65 in the fast lane, I mean,
come on.
I mean, we can all agree on that.
10 over speed limit is the minimum here.
And to be fair, no one's ever gone 65 in LA before. The max speed there is like 15 on the freeway. What's the fastest you ever gone on the freeway? 20?
In LA?
Yeah.
I would say about 20. Yeah.
Dude, LA drivers are the worst. What are you talking about? They're like speed demons.
No, we're talking about the traffic.
Oh, the traffic. I'm talking about just generally drivers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, LA drivers are definitely
nuts. Well, because they're so used to being in so much traffic that when they actually get an open road, they don't know what to do.
This is road rage.
Open road.
Floor it.
This is my one opportunity.
Blinkers, what's that?
Oh gosh, LA people, we love you. Okay, just want to be clear about that.
Jeremy looks LA subscribers.
So what you got in here, Jeremy?
Oh, I got something big in there. Okay, so
wait. You should have Jack guess what it is.
Do you know what it is?
I have no idea what it is.
You know what it is? Huh?
Yes.
Ooh. So I'm guessing it has to do with the Hungry Bull then.
Okay.
Oh, well,
that's a really good guess. I will say that.
Or real estate.
It's not in relation to Hungry Bull, but that's a good guess.
How are you basing that guess? What are you basing?
By a shirt, probably. Yeah. Sure.
Oh gosh.
I don't know. I wear these all the time.
I'm not going to open it. I'm just going to feel the weight. Wow.
No.
Wow, that's heavy. I'm thinking it's a Millennial Money plaque to put right here.
Okay.
Okay, can I ask you a few questions about it?
Oh my gosh, Andre.
We got to
You're a magician. You're going to find out.
All right, is it a commodity?
I can't tell you.
I'm going to say it's yes because you blinked.
Ah, oh, damn, I knew it. I knew he was going to.
All right, so I'm going to say it is a commodity. Is it? Don't say anything.
I'm not even looking at him.
I'll look at you because I know what it is.
All right, silver, gold, silver, white, yep. All right, silver.
Yeah, oh, but it's certainly not gold.
But yeah, that's an easy one.
Yeah, I stole this would be.
What did I have? Nothing to base
it on. What, 100 grams
super heavy.
Or 100
don't
ounces of gold?
Oh, wait, you tell me.
Andre, you think Jeremy's bringing $2 million worth of gold in here? Really?
If you showed this to someone, they're going to be like, that's silver.
Yes.
Tell me that. Really?
Yes.
Jeez, he's not impressed.
Well, I'm impressed, Andre. Yeah.
I think Graham's.
I would also think maybe titanium or aluminum.
No. Okay. Aluminum? Yeah. It was way too heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is so heavy.
Yeah, it was so polished, so nice when I got it. And
dude,
then
I feel like this is like an aluminum foil I can take off and just have chocolate here.
Can I
check?
See?
Yeah.
I've bought silver before. I bought 2 ounces.
Guess how much you paid for that?
Well, I can do the math. How much?
Oh, Andre, how much did I pay for it?
How many ounces is it?
100 ounces.
100 ounces?
Can you find out?
I'm going to say this was...
No. I mean, like, can you find out, like, by asking me questions to find out the price?
I'm sure I could, but I'm not going to impress anyone here because you're too smart.
Jack said 4,300. Let me see.
4,300? Okay.
4,200.
Alex, how much? Oh, wow, that's heavy.
I don't know. I'm going to say
maybe you just pay some sort of premium.
I'm going to say
shipping's
10
probably
G's.
Insane on that.
No, three.
Three, okay.
Yeah, you pay about three for that. That's
three
with everything. Shipping,
the thing is,
everything.
The spot price on this is like $2,200. Oh, if you were
no,
to melt
like
it.
No, like $2,500.
Yeah, see, I didn't know if they marked it up.
$25 an ounce right now?
Yeah. 24 or 25.
Yeah, they do.
How much of that in gold? How much would that cost to the gold?
In gold?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, that would be a 100 times gold's at what, 2,000? So it'd be like 200,000.
Yeah. This is a solid like 15 pounds, like 10 pounds.
Yeah, like how heavy it is.
It's probably 15 pounds.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's got to be like 7 pounds. Yeah. That's pretty heavy, though.
Let me summarize Jeremy this episode. Here's Jeremy. He's like, hey, guys, Andre, you can't afford my neighborhood.
I
bought $3,000.
I am way off. How is that only, 100 ounces?
Like, I bought a silver bar just for the fun of it.
It's only 6 pounds. It feels heavier than 6 pounds.
This is for Bailey. It's a present for her birthday.
Maybe work out a little bit more.
That's only 6 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
It feels way heavier.
I said 7 as a joke. I thought that was like way more, honestly, too.
Really?
To be fair, Graham's like 3'5", so that feels like 100 pounds.
Wow.
Well, Graham's tell us that, Alex.
All right, we're going to cut that out, Alex.
Maybe someday I could afford a gold one.
Cool flex, bro. Anyway.
Let me see your Bitcoin, Andre. Oh, that's right. You can't. It doesn't exist.
Okay, Warren Buffett. I think that's why you feel old, because you're just watching Warren Buffett 24/7. You're like, I can really relate to this gentleman.
Yeah.
When's Charlie the last Munger? Time he was at the club?
You don't see Charlie Munger at the club. When's the last time Warren Buffett was at XS? Huh?
Could you imagine you saw Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger at XS at their own table? Just like in their suit?
Throwing hundreds.
No, they're just sitting there just with a drink in front of them. Like 10 mouth security guards.
They would be doing research. They would be counting like who's ordering the drink and the markup on the thing. They'd be doing research to buy the place.
Oh gosh. You know another reason why you don't go to the club? Too expensive.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like $50 for a drink.
Also, really? You can't hear anyone talk.
Oh yeah.
That's is it actually $50 per drink?
No, if you go to the 30.
If you go to the
$30 per drink.
Probably. If you go to the expensive ones after tip, you're 50.
Is that like where they're making all their money? Or is it sales, like entrance at the door?
Probably both.
A little bit of everything, yeah. And then for Vegas ones, it's also just the fact that you have a bunch of people that are in the club that are probably going to gamble after. Like a certain percentage of those people gamble. So they look at it a little different.
So you got to imagine too, for guys and guys and girls, there's the, I don't know, women, guys, is it guys?
Guys and girls.
Guys and gals.
Them?
Yeah. For everybody. I don't know how to say it. Like guys and gals? It sounds weird. Guys and women sounds weird. Yeah. Guys and, I don't know.
You could just say males and females.
Males and females. I don't know. Everyone pays a cover. Unless you're somebody who's on a list or whatever, you get in for free. But most people are paying a cover. Then if you want a booth, you're paying anywhere from like $3,000 to $50,000 for a booth.
Yeah. What do you get at a booth that's $3,000?
You get the space. It's like you get a space to sit down. Plus, you get a certain amount of alcohol provided to you, and usually for a certain amount, it's like they bring in the bottle with the sparklers, mm-hmm. and they go up and down, they say your name or whatever. And then if you don't do that, you're just standing at the front, and then you have to pay for drinks, and that's like $30 per drink.
Mm.
Yeah.
Clubs are almost as bad as Graham because he is about to charge his friends a cover charge for showing up to his parties.
I said, well, this is... I'm
did
not
you
a cover,
actually?
But, no, but I did He's say...
considering it.
Graham. I did say... No, Jack, I did say, when somebody leaves, take a piece of trash with
them.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
That's reasonable because the place is a mess.
It's not
if
reasonable.
If you leave, just take a piece
Who
of trash
that?
And throw it
hey
away.
Guys, I hosted a party. Everyone, make sure you take a piece of trash with you.
I feel like I you did that more based off of principle than you did based off of saving time, because how many people were there? 10, 15?
Probably 15.
So they picked up 15 pieces of trash. And how long would that take you to do?
Five minutes, 6 minutes? But it takes you a second. Just courtesy.
5 minutes for 15 pieces of trash?
They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
How long does it take you
go outside and there's someone who put something down on the floor and just sits there. Listen, just clean up after yourself. It's not that big of a deal.
I agree with you. I think like it makes sense based off principle. You know, everyone picks up after themselves. Still, I don't know. I'm not going
to. As a way to clean up fast, everyone is pick up a piece of trash.
Yeah, that's it.
We did this in elementary school. It worked really well, and I just want to continue that. We had to put away our stuff. Like everyone's put away
that's
one
why
thing.
When I come
yeah.
to your parties, Andre, I actually bring stuff like pink box
oh,
donuts.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. Jeremy came over to my get together last time, and then he just went immediately to the basement, and he's like, "I'm gonna be right here by myself."
That's how an introvert does it. I was like, "Kids, you're coming with me."
That is you.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I just played ping pong.
Yeah.
I want to beat
you, Jack.
Don't
see him until the end.
No, every single time too. You're usually on the couch. It's usually with your wife next to you.
Sociable.
Yeah.
She talks to people.
You get really competitive. You want to win. We play some sort of game.
If I can't do something competitive, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, if it's not money or not competition, it's not worth my time. I don't want to talk to another human. Are you kidding me? How boring. Jeez.
Actually, this
now let's compete. Let's play a game. Now,
imagine you're talking to a stranger. Like, this conversation is sponsored by FTX. I feel like, did you use my affiliate link in the description? Look,
the
here's
your partner.
Let's sign up. Give me your phone. Give me your phone. We'll sign up.
No,
really
Jeremy's
quick.
Like, this conversation cost me $2,000. Thanks.
Oh gosh, no. It's just, I mean,
yeah. How about we talk about this? They announced the Tesla Cybertruck will be, I believe, discontinued, and they're refunding the deposit.
That's an April Fool's joke.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
What? Someone you didn't fall for that? You pointed it out like it was groundbreaking news, man. How about this, guys?
Dude, I would have done six videos about
guys,
that already.
You haven't heard. Guys, I have some breaking news stuff to say.
It's all right. It's all right, Graham. I almost fell for that one. I almost fell for it, too. It's okay. You're human.
You didn't do it.
I won't dig you for it.
You didn't do an April Fool's joke, huh? For your channel.
I didn't. Yeah. I forgot it was April Fool's.
Okay.
But speaking of not April Fool's, Logan Paul bought a $5 million Pokemon card.
I saw that.
The most expensive Pokemon card ever sold.
And he came out for WrestleMania or something with it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for Pokemon.
$5 million.
Pokemon cards still going up in value?
They haven't been, but maybe now they will.
I'm not sure that they have. No.
He's just got to make another video on him.
He will make another video, and prices will go up another 15%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now is actually probably the time to buy if you're buying the right cards.
Right.
And then sell right after his video.
Dude, I grew up and I had so many Pokemon cards. Oh, I had tons. Yeah.
And what happened to them?
The house situation.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think it was more like he traded those Pokemon cards so he could buy likes on TikTok because that's what his generation
I traded
was.
It for a Tinder Platinum.
That's like a thing.
I actually,
how does that work?
How are you liking the Tinder? Remember I told you to
Are we really
going to
talk? I feel like this is not the
Yes. Retention is going to go through the roof right now.
Okay, so I told Jack to pay for Tinder because he's like, I just want to use the free version, but that's like 10 or swipe 25. Well, how much was it? Like it was 25 swipes a day?
I don't know how many swipes per day it was, but you can't see the people who like you.
Oh, that's right.
So, okay. So I think
how is that
going? We could provide, I think that there's a way we can make this valuable for everyone listening.
Okay, let's do it.
So, I basically had this dilemma. I was spending too much time on Tinder per day.
Yeah.
It's not like it was a bad thing. It wasn't an obsession or anything. But, you know, you swipe a lot and you don't match with a lot of people.
Right.
But Andre said, Jack, you can actually get an ROI if you pay $60 and you allocate that time elsewhere and you buy Tinder Platinum to see who likes you.
Exactly.
And then you could immediately just weed out those who haven't liked you and you can get matches immediately. Instant results. So I did that. It saves me a lot of time. And I think that it is important to look at your day and find out, you know, maybe where is your time going? And is there any way you can expedite that, make it quicker, and then allocate that time towards something that
would
give
that.
You a reward. Yeah.
There we go.
So how much time were you spending on Tinder?
Honestly, not that much. Maybe like 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Maybe honestly 20.
You touched your face. That's a lie. When you touch your face and you get asked
it's probably an hour. So
like
take
that.
It and like,
no, honestly, I'll show you my screen time.
Show your battery stats.
No, it's all right. It's all right. We don't need to put them on the spot.
That was
like
such
that.
A long time ago.
Did you get? Did you get any dates?
It was not even that much time at all.
Like, did you get any dates since that?
I had a couple.
You had a couple.
Yeah.
All right,
well,
All right.
He's touching his face again.
I have him still, man.
It's like, bro, I've been getting so many dates. You're no clue.
Oh, Jack. Actually, I want to ask you this. So, how much of your like social media-ness do you use to attract girls?
None. So, okay, so I have never put my Instagram handle.
You had a picture with Graham.
Yeah, but no one recognizes Graham.
One did and said it was annoying.
A couple.
Seriously.
No, it was so funny.
They had no idea the affiliation at all. And they're like, that's Graham Stephan? Oh, yeah, I don't like him. He's annoying.
Yeah, she said, that's Graham Stephan. He's really annoying. And I said, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. I never told her I worked with him.
Yeah.
And then we went on a date. And on the date, she found out contextually that I do work with Graham.
Got
and it was funny. She called him annoying. She's all, I like that Kevin guy better.
Oh,
she said that. Dang. Yeah, it was crazy.
I find it actually disrespectful.
Didn't get a second.
Where
date.
Does she live?
Las Vegas.
Where?
She blocks me.
Make sure
she blocks.
No, I'm kidding. She didn't block me.
In 10 minutes. No.
Where my friend Vlad.
He knows powerful people, okay?
He just had his yacht seized. Can't say who it is.
The app color is green. I can't say more than that. Look at this. My text. Look at that.
Oh.
And here I am with you guys.
It's a weird flex.
Dinner is ready. Better flex than the wife. Yeah. Is there any other like financial topics that we should cover? Did we go too far astray from?
No, we need you back again next week, Jack, because we got a lot more to get into. This, you know, this Tinder thing was amazing. I think that was a highlight of the episode.
I don't.
You know what would be incredible if we went through your Tinder matches and messages right now.
No, next week.
next week.
Right. No, next come
week.
On. People tune in for money and finance.
No, there will be money and finance, but we'll throw this in as a bonus at the very end.
At the end of next week's episode.
5 minutes where we go through your Tinder matches and messages, and we each critique them.
Yes. Next week. I can't wait to do this. That's going to be so much fun. And Andre, bring us something interesting next week.
Bring you have to bring something. It's show
something,
and tell.
Yeah, I know you're interesting, but we need a something
prop.
Here.
We need a prop.
I don't care what it is. Something interesting that is wrapped up.
Should I make it like I can insult you with it like you did?
That was Graham. I just want to be clear about that.
I could embarrass all you guys right now.
No, wow. We want no smoke, sir. So, but. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, as always, to Millennial Money, folks. Thank you, FTX, for sponsoring today's video, as always. Make sure you buy some stuff through FTX, and also maybe buy some hard stuff at some point, too.
What a weird flex.
Weird flexes all over the place.
I'm going to bring my fake gold one from Amazon that I got for $20.
The plastic one? Oh, my gosh.
It's plastic?
Guys, yeah.
It should at least add weight to it. Cool.
Well, thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure to subscribe, and we'll see you next week. Cool.
See you guys. Thanks for having me, by the way. That was fun.
We could put this at the end of the video, and it's just us eating cookies. Kind of like the Avengers, you know, the end of the Avengers.
Thanks, Macy.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.